Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This episode is brought to you in part by Bluehost Hosting, the official web host of the NLCast Network. For $4.95 per month, that gets you unlimited space, unlimited domains, and unlimited bandwidth. It's as good as it sounds, trust me. That's why we use them. Visit thatstoryshow.com/Bluehost to sign up today.
This is Destiny the Puppy Dragon, and you're listening to That Funny Story Show. If you kick the cheese, you are an idiot.
Hey, how you doing, folks? This is That Story Show, the show that shares funny real-life stories from all over the world, also known as That Funny Story Show, apparently, by middle schoolers everywhere. This episode is 242, brought to the week of February 17th, 2015. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. With me, as always, is John Steinklauber. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. How you doing?
All right, man. I appreciate your work in getting here tonight. John was out of town and still may be. Mentally, but he is here with us tonight.
I am clear and present.
I appreciate it. Also with us just right next door, who did absolutely no traveling to get here tonight, other than walking in the door, is my spouse, Jennifer. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good. I'm glad you're back. Jen's been out of town. She's been in St. Louis and for a couple of days visiting friends and stuff, and so I'm glad she's back. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Welcome back to the show and to my life.
And to the warm weather.
And to my children.
Because it was really cold up there.
Because they were really bored down here.
So. Yeah, because I'd take them to places.
They're out of school down there, too?
Yeah, on Monday they were.
Yeah, President's Day, man. And so, I'm so glad to be back on schedule because, you know, President's Day. I mean, getting the cake ready and the
all
costumes. And the lights and all the decorations.
Wooden teeth.
It's tough.
The cherry tree recreation. I mean, it is a lot of work to celebrate.
It's a big holiday here.
President's Day, yeah. So glad that's over with. Phew. Man.
Four scored 7 years ago.
Oh, feels like it. Feels like it. But I still can't wait till it next year. You know, when George Washington pops his head up and tells us if we're going to have any more
two more years of winter.
That's a groundhog.
Tells us if we're going to be free from the redcoats or not, and then goes back down.
It's going to be a tea party.
This first thing I want to do is mention Owen Karp. Owen Karp. You may not know that name, and that's because you've never heard it before. Owen Karp sent us an email, and I just wanted to share it today because it's one of those that's really cool. You know, it says, "Hey, James, I should be writing a paper and studying for an upcoming exam, but this morning," he says, "I was just thinking about how I used to be a huge fan of NLCast. I almost shut it down right there. I'm like, used to be? There is no former fans. Just people that don't listen right now." But I knew what he meant. He says, "So I went to Google, and I was really happy to see that you're still making podcasts. And then I remembered the time that I recorded myself singing the intro song on my laptop. I edited it so my voice was incredibly high-pitched, and I sent it to the show." He said, "You played it at the very beginning and I got a real kick out of it. I had no idea which episode it was. So I spent more time than I'd like to admit looking around the episode archives trying to find it. And I finally found it on episode 120, The Clown Letdown." Infamous episode. Posted back on 9/2/2009.
Wow.
Which was just a few days before I started ninth grade. Now, here I am, a sophomore in college.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right? He grew up. He's so big. He's just a big boy now. And he says, "I'm just as much of a goofball as I used to be 6 years ago." So are we. So
I haven't grown up any.
Well, I'm saying there's no former fans. You're part of the NLCast family, and you can never leave. But he said, I downloaded the episode, and I have it saved for whenever I need a good laugh. Thanks for all the great memories. And I just wanted to share that. So you don't have to go back, people, and hunt for episode 120 and listen to one of the greatest show stories ever told by our by our friend John here. I went in and pulled that in. And here it is. This is what it sounds like. It's a little weird.
Oh, let's see.
It's very entertaining.
Wow.
So I played that. I actually played that. Today I would have deleted it before it finished the end, but we were pretty desperate, I guess, back then for stuff. But
you needed content.
But this was an eighth grader here, you know, a middle schooler.
Your favorite.
And I listened to that, and I'm thinking, how in the world did he sing that high? And then I reread it, and he said that he recorded it on his laptop and then ramped it up. Well, what do you know? I have audio editing software, and I ramped it right back down. Would you like to hear his actual yes. voice singing that crazy yes. song? So would I.
That's a pretty deep voice for an eighth grader.
All right, so I'm not exactly sure the exact tone, but that sounded like an eighth grader going into ninth grade to me.
It kind of sounded like a dying animal, but yeah.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
What is his name again?
His name is Owen Karp. He must Owen have been in Karp. The bathroom when he was recording that, just in the shower, you know, with his laptop, and
of course,
just recorded that. Haven't we all been in there once or twice?
I know, but yeah.
So I hope you appreciate that. I just enjoy the fact that there are people that listen to the show that still think of us, even though they've moved on to greater things, you know, like college. Yeah.
Well, and he should have been writing a paper. Instead, he was searching for an episode and
absolutely
strolling down memory lane. So, yeah, it's totally worth it.
I told him we still got good stories, and we also accept sophomore and college stories, too.
Yes, we do.
And anytime
maybe we even come up with a segment for it.
Anytime he wants to, you know, sing us a song, he's welcome. Just ramp it right up to 90, and we'll do that. I think it's time for some backstory. Backstory is where we share a story from the past 7 days or so, and I'd like to start today with John.
Oh boy!
I know, right?
Man. Well, I just want to say thank you, first off.
No problem.
It's a privilege to go first. And until yesterday, my best backstory was the fact that Siri tried to send me to Brunswick, Maine to go get a pita. So I'm really glad because I was down in our old, you know, stomping grounds down there at St. Simon's area. And so I said, find me a pita place in Brunswick. And so I said, okay, here's one. And I look, it's going to take me a day to get there. And I thought, that's not
good. I'll be really hungry by then.
Max, yeah. Apple's, or the iOS mapping program leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah. So
Siri's, I gotta say,
Siri's also a bad word. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I won't repeat it then. Sorry.
No. I didn't mean her name. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I gotcha. Yes. You're saying that she is directing me to Brunswick, Maine on purpose.
Yes, yes.
Because of her personality. Mm. Well, I got to say, I went all the way up to Asheville, North Carolina to retrieve this particular backstory today. So Amy and I decided we had an opportunity to go up to Asheville for a couple of days, just kind of take a just relax. So we were going to have like a little mini vacation. So we packed the boys up in the car and went to Asheville. While we're up there, we like to go to this place called the Biltmore.
You packed them. I mean, just
Just put them in a suitcase.
It was nice. He put the peanuts around them and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we wrapped them in bubble wrap too.
It's perfect.
Yeah, so that, you know, we could just throw them on top of the roof of the car and be on our way. Perfect. I mean, so have you ever heard of the Biltmore?
The ducks walk through it?
No, that's the Peabody.
And that's in Memphis or Orlando.
No.
Okay. Well, just for a little back history, the Biltmore is a home that was built by George Vanderbilt, you know, rich tycoon guy in the early 1900s. And so this house, this mansion, is amazing, and people come from all over the country and the world, apparently, to come just walk through it because it's huge and it's awesome. And because of the era that this building was built in, a lot of times people will kind of, you know, they don't usually show up in their cutoff jeans and their flannel shirts and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
They dress up.
Not like, you know, Downton Abbey dress up, but they'll usually.
Does anybody do that?
Did I
dress
say
up like Downton Abbey?
Yeah, they don't do that there.
Oh, okay.
But they
wear nice
go through
clothes.
Nicely, and it's kind of a, yeah, they wear nice clothes. It's a kind of an atmosphere in the place. It's kind of like, I don't know.
So you would feel out of place, important. You know, dressed down, basically.
If so you were fancy. Going in the same outfit that you would go to Walmart in.
Or record a podcast in, say.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know. No. I guess. What are you wearing?
I'm boxers, boxers and a wife beater. That's what I always wear.
You might feel out of place then. So anyway, you're in this place and it's really nice, and the people are just the people that are escorting you through are just really super and really nice and kind and stuff. But so we're in this house, and we're going through, it's multiple floors, and we're in this area where this, like, the guests would come stay. So the rooms are just really nice and amazing. And notice this family in front of us that just, you know, checking the place out. And it's really quiet. Did I mention it's really quiet in the house?
No, you didn't mention.
Okay, it's usually pretty quiet. There's not like music playing. There's a lot of people will have these little, like, little headset things that they're kind of listening to the audio tour on. You know, so they can't really, they're not really paying attention to you, and they're not really talking much. They're usually just listening to this audio tour. Well, there's this, I noticed this older gentleman in front of me whilst I was just exploring the house. And, you know, he looked like he's just a little older, might have some issues. And in the silence, in the midst of the silence of this room that we were in, I heard what sounded like a duck being strangled.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I didn't want to embarrass the guy by laughing out loud, but man, it was just this long quacking sound. And so I quickly had to avert my gaze from my wife's eyes, because she would have made me laugh out loud, like just the look of she would have had. And it was not short by any means. It was just this drawn out process. And so I just quickly turned away so I wouldn't embarrass the guy. But apparently he didn't care because when I did make eye contact with him, he was smiling. But I don't know if it was because of what he had just done or the fact that he had graced that room with the most awful scent. Some of these finely dressed, you know, hoity-toity people were catching wind of it and actually gagging and leaving the room quickly.
Because they hadn't heard it. They had their headphones on.
That's exactly right. This is the one thing.
Not silent, but still deadly. I like that.
It was awful. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to walk through that. But to be able to get to the next room, I had to. I was like, I'm just going to hang out here for a little bit. And then I noticed some people were starting to come into the room. I was like, I don't want them to think it was me.
So you had to leave quick.
I just quickly made sure that my face couldn't be seen and just got to the next room.
It's the ghost of Vanderbilt.
Oh! It was George Vanderbilt.
That's the green haze in the room. Now, see, I'd like to go to a place like that, me and Jen, and bring somebody with like a clipboard and a suit and act like, you know, they're a realtor and like we're looking at the place to just commenting on stuff. You know, we could bust this out. No, not a problem. Yeah. Not a problem. We could repaint this. It's a little ancient, but it'd be okay.
Not enough bathrooms.
Huh? Not enough bathrooms. Not
enough bathrooms, yeah.
I bet there's bathrooms galore.
My goodness.
They're just behind secret panels and stuff where the maids could get to them. But I'm gonna do mine because mine's short and dumb. Happened today. My son, Jen, did I tell you about Jay's blister? That he got a blister today.
You told
his
me.
First blister. Okay. Anyway. So tonight Jay comes in here and we have this thing and we have this understanding with our children that if there is a problem with the privacy area of my daughter, my wife, of course, handles it. And Jen will tell you that, likewise, if there is a privacy issue with the privates of the boy, that she sends him to me because she's like, I don't know what to do with that. Just, you know. And usually most of the issues that he has come to me with have been zipper related or soap related. And every man knows about the soap problem. You just can't get it in there. So Jay comes in tonight and he's like, Daddy, and I'm trying to work. I've got this comic I got to get out tomorrow and I'm working. And I hear him kind of out of the side of my head. And he's like, Daddy, my thingy is, it's really hurting. It's really hurting. And I'm like, your little ditter doodle? Is your little ditter doodle having a problem? And then I turn around and he's holding up his dumb blister finger. And I'm so happy. I'm so pleased because I didn't want to get involved with anything. And I only have a certain amount of cures, you know, before we have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And one of them is get back in the tub and wash the soap out. Or let's 1, 2, 3, hold your breath and run the zipper back down and make sure you wear underwear this time.
Oh God, James.
Anything other than that.
That didn't really happen, did it? Where it wasn't wearing underwear?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Don't say not yet.
It will. It happens. Every man. Every man knows.
How? What do you forget?
It just happens.
It just happens.
How? Yeah.
I'm not going to explain it on a family-friendly podcast, spouse.
Sorry.
Well, here's exactly what's going on.
Please spare me. Spare me.
But you know how boys' underwear has kind of an overlapping fold, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, sometimes that comes open and things fall through them. I won't be specific on what they are. It could be any number of things. Pencils, hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You're making John giggle.
But you think everything's fine. You kind of do this thing where you stick your butt out and then you just zip up, you know? Mm-hmm. And sticking your butt out tucks everything in. Except sometimes the ditter-doodle gets caught in the spokes. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. So. Thanks.
And the only way...
The more you know, you need that public service.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not done yet. But the only way to fix that is you have to go back the way you came. There is no shortcut. So as much as it hurt on the way up, it goes back down. So guys, make sure that you always wear boxers or shorts and know where your diddle-doodle is at all times. There we go.
That was way more information than I ever wanted to hear.
No, it wasn't, because you asked for it, Ms. Jen.
No,
you sure enough did.
I was asking about the other thing.
Let's take a little vote, everybody out there in podcast land. Who asked for more information? Jen!
No.
All right, now it's your turn.
I'm staying out of this
one. I'm not having a weekly update now.
Yay!
No. So on Saturday morning, I was in the airport waiting to go to St. Louis, and I've flown a lot in my life and usually pretty uneventful, but so I checked the little monitor and I went to my gate and I'm just sitting there. I'm charging my phone. I'm looking on my iPad. All this kind of stuff.
Trying to look cool.
Trying to look really cool, and there's probably about 10 people sitting over at the gate. And I'm like, oh, this is great. The plane's going to be empty. I'm going to get my own row of seats. This is just perfect.
I hear this duck sound suddenly.
Like it's being strangled.
Wow.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, so I'm sitting there and, you know, it's getting closer to time to leave and I am not hearing anybody calling anybody or, you know, getting us lined up. But I'm like, there's only 10 people. So who cares? This isn't going to be a big long wait or anything like that. Suddenly, I'm sitting there and I hear Jennifer Kennison, please report to gate 39. Ooh. The plane is about to leave or something
shame,
like that.
Shame, shame, know your name. No.
I was at the wrong gate. I was at gate 30 instead of 39. I guess I read
it
wrong.
She's at gate 30 and on level 75 on Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. And thank goodness they called or I would have completely missed it. But yeah, so then I had to run. And then I was one of the last people to get on, and it was Southwest, so I didn't have my own seat, or I didn't have a pre-assigned seat.
I had to sit in some dude's lap.
Oh, God. And
to sit on a baby.
The plane was full, so I wonderfully got a middle seat and did not get to relax. Mm.
That's like the equivalent of a middle finger from an airplane.
Yeah.
The middle seat.
Getting the middle seat.
Because everybody, when you sit down in the middle seat, both of the other people hate you for sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all worked out.
Yeah.
Both using both of the armrests, so you kind of have to keep your arms.
And they freaking know your name because they're probably.
Because they called.
There's Jennifer Kennison.
I know. Do you ever wonder when the plane's like ready to take off and then like two people show up just randomly? I was one of those people.
Yeah, you're just sitting there waiting. Why haven't we left yet? Yeah. And then some haggled looking old lady gets on thing and. Her cell phone's on.
This is the captain speaking. We're waiting for Jennifer Kennison. When she gets on the plane, please, everybody cheer.
Everybody applaud, please. Give her high fives.
That's so, right.
She looks really cool.
That was my eventful morning.
Oh, that's the worst.
It was so awful. Because I was there early. I was waiting. I was right where I was supposed to be. Not at all. I didn't even have kids with me.
You were trying to sneak into the Delta Lounge like you belong there. Don't play any games with us.
You'll notice she's got a little iPad with her. That's probably been keeping her from getting here on time.
Someone make sure she please turns that thing off before we take off. We don't need any more delays from Jennifer Kennison. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of value, and we were. Has this show brought value to your life?
Yes.
Yes, I hope so. Well, you can show your support for just a quarter a show, just $1 a month. Visit thatstoryshow.com/donate. To get started today. Jen, are you a supporter of
Yes, I am.
Yes, she is. Isn't that awesome, folks? My own wife.
She's cooler than I am.
Tell you what. Very cool. Oh, I also want to mention, I forgot about this, since we're talking about newsy type stuff. I mentioned that I ordered a t-shirt, a That Story Show t-shirt. Well, I got it. And I don't think I had it last time. I think I was supposed to have had it, but I got it in the mail and I was real iffy about this. And that's why I wanted to get one. Plus I needed a shirt. I wanted one. I had the old Nobody's Listening one. I wanted a new one. But I didn't want to start, you know, talking about it online until I'd actually gotten one because my fear was I sent them a black and white image. I'm thinking, yeah, they printed that thing out black and white, and then they staple it or you know, press it down on a black shirt. So it's going to be this big black square, you know, with white words or something in the middle. And I have never been more happy to be wrong. The shirt is amazing. It smells like a duck in a Vanderbilt hotel because it's, you know, printed. You have to wash it and all that. But, it looks really good, doesn't it, Jen?
It does.
It's nice and big print. It's just the white ink. It looks just like a screen printed t-shirt. She's washed it already. It held up. It looks great. And I'm going to be wearing that shirt it's going to be on the rotation. So I'm very excited. If you'd like to look at getting your own shirt, we have a men's type of shirt and we have a ladies type of shirt. I think it's called a Bearcat shirt. What do they call that? Baby doll. I was close.
Did you say bear cat?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah, that's just like a baby doll.
It was very close to baby doll.
Maybe you got it confused with cougar?
Maybe. Wow. You could get those, by the way, at nlcast.spreadshirt.com. spreadshirt.com. Don't misspell that. Spreadshirt. Any other spelling is a weird website. Okay. It's time for us to jump into some featured stories. These are stories from you, and this one's from Amy from New Jersey, and it's called The Perfect Pancake. She says, one day I had decided to make pancakes for my family. I had begun making them and eventually finished the first one. It was bound to happen. And it was perfect. So then I took the pan off the stove and placed it on the counter. And then I put the perfect pancake on a plate for later serving. And then, it's kind of written like a first grade story, isn't it? Then what happened? Then I grabbed the pan with a new uncooked pancake and I placed it on the stove. Then I turned around. And then, after that, and then when I turned back around, and then there was a fire.
What?
What? Yeah, let me reread that. Then I grabbed the pan with a new uncooked pancake and placed it on the stove. And then I turned around. And then when I turned back around, then there was a fire. I had not put the pan on the stove. I had put the paper plate on the stove with my perfect pancake on it. So I then I ruined my perfect pancake.
Oh, no.
So that's a perfect pancake. From Amy in New Jersey. I'm just going to play this.
Perfect paper pancake.
Because I have a feeling it was a middle school drama.
It feels like it.
Feels like it. Then it does. She has a question. She says, in Axe Cop, in the online comic, there's a guy in there with a hat on that says, NL, was that you, James? And the answer to that is yes, that was.
Yes.
John's also in there. He's not only next to me in that scene, the candy exploding car scene. John is also later on featured as the head of Chicken Head, which has a John head instead of a chicken head, as you would imagine a character like that would have.
Really strange.
But we were placed in the comic originally because we are good friends with Ethan, the creator. He asked us to come out and help him with one of his first public speaking gigs, and we kind of emceed it for him and the whole deal.
Totally,
and
awesome.
It was absolutely one of the best things that I've ever done. And we came back and then because of that, Ethan's little brother who writes the comic had met John and called him Chickenhead the entire time we were there, and Chickenhead eventually became a character. The boy, what is not known is he also called me a gorilla, which I told him promptly to stop because he was kind of a wiggly, squirmy boy, and I was kind of in charge of him.
Really?
Yeah,
I was kind of the wrangler.
Yeah, I was wrangling him while I was doing this job and doing slides and everything else. And he called me a gorilla, and I told him stop. Well, then he did a live character creation thing, and what was it? It was a gorilla, and
named Junior Cobb.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Junior Cobb. Now I did not have a name when he called me a gorilla, but he did tell me that I had a tail that shot jets out of it. Wow. And so Junior T had a tail that shot jets out of it. And so Junior T is based on me. So there you go.
There you go. It even has your head.
It sure does. Mostly my body, I think, is what he was kind of going on. And I was like, you little seven-year-old punk. You pooped in your own pants. What are you?
He did.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
He had pooped his pants. They fixed it, but he had just been really excited and been out excited too long and had pooped his pants. It delayed the entire thing. So
that's horrible.
That's why we don't like 7-year-olds. Steve,
or 70-year-olds.
That's true. Steve Warzenberg sent in a story, that's it, called Mall Bunny.
I like that.
Sounds dirty.
I didn't think that.
Oh. He says, it's your friendly neighborhood homeschool kid. This is a story about the funniest thing that happened during my first job, being the Easter Bunny at the mall. So this is a homeschool report.
Cool.
I believe Steve is the crooked finger dude. So
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than normal kids, screaming bloody murder, at the mall as I was the Easter Bunny, I had a group of guys, probably middle schoolers themselves, come to me, and the guy who was escorting me to the back room where I would change my costume. So he came up to both of us, a group of young black teenagers, and they were yelling, "Hey, Easter Bunny, do the nay nay." Now, being a homeschooler, I had no idea what they were talking about. And I want to pause here for a minute and say that I've been out of the African-American world for too long. You know, in Kansas City, we knew all the stuff. It was awesome. But I didn't know what the nay-nay was either. So I looked it up online, and there's a video, and it's from a group called We Are Toons, and they created a song called Nay-Nay. Mm-hmm. And it's got about 4 million views, but the one that has 13 million views is a whole bunch. It's a Mickey, a Minnie, a Goofy, and a Donald doing the Nay-Nay dance, okay? I also found out that Nay-Nay is based on Shanay-Nay and her dance from the old Martin show.
Martin cartoon.
So that's where the Nay-Nay comes from. So I did my homework. Anyway, so before I could explain that I didn't know what the Nay-Nay was, he says, the handler said, "What are you talking about? He can't dance. Look, he's white." Apparently, the handler was also African-American. So he said, I looked at him through my bunny eyes as if to try to say, "Not cool, bro." And the guys all responded, "Oh, we know he's a brother underneath." Well, after we got to the back room, I got out of the costume and I proceeded to leave only to find the same group of boys just hanging out. And they looked confused. And the handler took the liberty of saying, "See, I told you he was white." And that's it from me, your friendly neighborhood homeschooler, Steve Weisenberg. And that was the homeschool report. Yeah, the nay-nay needs to be done while you are in a animal costume. I have absolutely no doubt about that. But
I don't remember what that one looks like.
It's like this.
I can see it, John.
Yeah, see? Cleared it right up. Yeah. This is a voicemail from Puppy Dragon, who is actually sending it in for her brother. Her brother's name is Captain Evie. I love that people have names, you know?
Yeah, that's my name, too.
Captain I have a name.
Super Spandex.
I call this Desperately Seeking Squiggly. All right? She says, "This is my brother, age 11. He has an animal story that doesn't involve death."
Well, that's a plus.
All right. So here it goes. This is from Captain Evo.
That funny story show. This is Puppy Dragon's brother, Captain Evie. And this is a story of when I was looking for my hermit crab and I couldn't find him. So my mom and I and my sister all thought he was dead. A couple minutes later, while I was watching TV,
because he was so concerned,
like, "Hey, come here!" And then it was like, "Where did you find Squiggly?" And she was like, "Yep, he was on the palm tree, and this was a very small cage, so we couldn't see him because of how small the cage was."
Yeah.
He was in the
cage. That's when we decided to get a larger cage. But I really hope you show my story, and it would be pretty cool if you acknowledged that I exist.
You exist.
Bye.
Hold on.
If you didn't catch it, this is my brother, Captain Evie.
That's what his mom named him.
Sharing a story for his brother.
Did he say a box of mini Oreos?
Yeah, it's a joke. You weren't here then.
Oh.
Oreos. Is he the one that said that?
Probably. I don't know.
Why is his sister's name Puppy Dragon?
Because they have names. That's what they do.
What would your name be if you had a name?
My name would be Bear Report.
Bear Report. I think it would be Skippy.
Mine's would be Nay Nay Dancer. Mall Bunny. That's I like that one.
Bobby Claus, Nay Nay Dancer.
Anyway, part I didn't read, she says, excuse his slurps. He has allergy issues, and he pops, squeaks, and slurps all day. So now I want you to listen and hear the slurps and imagine that he is actually a small vampire that has a problem.
That funny story show, this is Puppy Dragon's brother, Captain Evie. And this is a story of when I was looking for my hermit crab, and I couldn't find him. So,
getting hungry.
My mom and I and my sister all came down.
Little sip there.
5 minutes later, while I was watching TV,
a dead body in front of him.
Mom was just like, "Hey, come here." And then I was like, "Where did you find Squiggly?" And she was like, "He was on the palm
tree." On the palm tree!
It was a very small cage.
It was very small,
so
but it had a palm tree.
Couldn't see him.
Room enough.
Because of how small the cage was.
Getting hungry. Oh,
that was when we decided to get a larger cage. But I really hope you show my story, and it would be pretty cool if you acknowledged that I exist.
All right, Captain EO, Evo, I'm sorry, EO.
I like EO.
That's for the wrong captain. But I need you to go and look in a mirror and see if you can see yourself, because I have a feeling that you're a child vampire and you are never going to grow up.
That's a problem.
You'll be homeschooled forever. Never.
No. Never find his hermit crab because he ate it.
Okay, logic here. The logic was we couldn't find him. We thought he was dead, first of all. He's safely in the cage. We thought he was dead. Not great pet owners, okay?
No. So they watch TV.
So, yeah, we're real concerned about this hermit crab named Squiggly.
He will show up and smell bad if he is dead.
Yeah, but guess where he is? He's behind a palm tree in a tiny cage. So we got him a bigger one. That's the answer to that problem. We couldn't find him in the tiny cage. So to fix that, we got a big cage. You know? So anyway, there's a palm tree.
But you know what? That makes a difference when you got a bigger cage, because it's harder to lose a bigger cage with its small animal.
Well, you know where the cage is. But
they should have taken the palm tree out.
See, when I first heard it, I thought that they said, "Oh, he's on the palm tree." Like there was one out front in the yard.
I thought there was one in their house, and a fake one.
They do climb in the wild. They climb trees and stuff. Little known fact. But no, he was behind a palm tree. The part they didn't say is he was doing the nene, but it's hard to do.
I know
with
the Dougie.
It's hard to do with a lot of legs. John, do you really?
No, I've just seen it.
Okay.
You couldn't really do
it. I'm sorry to pin you to the wall on that one, but I need video.
Could you do it, James?
Do you really?
I can't dance.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
If you can do a backbend, you can dance.
I've seen you do moves.
How was there a connection between backbend? That's like saying if you could sit on a toilet, you could drive a race car.
Well,
it's the same basic seating arrangement.
Yeah.
Not that didn't make sense. Anyway, here we are. This is from Jared Rester. I call it Batty Biker. Talk about alliteration. He says, "I wanted to tell you guys about a story that happened probably 12 years ago on a family bike ride. We were out riding bikes through our neighborhood enjoying the last days of fall before the winter moved in. And my sister and I were twins. We were both about 7 or so. She had just watched an episode of The Magic School Bus in science that day. It was the one about how all the students turned into bats and they learned how to use sound to navigate. She was a little ahead of the rest of us, and suddenly she swerved and ran right into the neighbor's mailbox. I don't know if any of you have ever run into a mailbox, but I can tell you that running into one while on a bike causes you to fall flat on your back. We all rushed up to see if she was all right. And we were satisfied that she was fine, but just a little bruised. We asked her what in the world happened. She looked confused and just answered, 'I was testing my echolocation.' We all still get a kick out of that to this day. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Jared." Let me just guess, Jared. Your twin's not around anymore. She didn't make it.
She didn't make it in life.
Echolocation.
Was she up there making noise, flipper noises and stuff? When you can't tell, you know, that show in particular from reality, you got problems. It's okay.
Wait, you mean that thing that's shaped like a school bus doesn't go all over the world? And
what is that small thing? What is that school bus doing? Turning kids into bats. Why is that school bus doing a podcast? Anyway, why is this? Where?
Why is that podcast shaped like a school bus?
Why is that school bus hiding behind that palm tree?
You know, let's get it a bigger cage.
That's the solution to all problems. Yeah, right there. My son comes in. My thing got caught in my zipper. Have you thought
about a bigger cage?
About getting it a bigger cage.
It's your fault, Dad.
Yeah. So, man. Okay. This is a little bit of listener feedback. It's not a story. This is from Puppy Dragon, of all things. Okay. This person's taking over our show. Oh. I was listening to episode 232, Krispy Kreme, when you laughed about Santa Claus, Indiana. Now, I live here in Evansville. See, I'm reading this because I knew eventually this would happen. I, you know, was using these crazy but real city names, you know, for people.
Protect the innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, until they got in the habit of doing it themselves. And I knew someone would rise up, you know. And this one is a little, has an angry feel to it. Puppy Dragon is mad because we represented the wrong city when it comes to Santa Claus, and you'll find out more. I live in Evansville, Indiana, which is the biggest city within 45 minutes. By God, see the anger. I mean, she is proud of Evansville.
Maybe this was while the crab was lost, and so he's kind of anxious and angry about that.
The thing that this proves, though, is that her city is surrounded by absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because I can drive 45 minutes and still be in St. Petersburg.
And we've probably only gone 3 miles.
I haven't even got out of town yet. Yeah. I haven't even got down the street because of the traffic.
Sitting in a stoplight.
So if you can go 45 minutes and find another town, you're blessed. You're a blessed person. Anyway, she says... it's home to Holiday World.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a theme park. It's called Santa Claus' Summer Home. Holiday World.
Oh. I want to go there.
It is also home to many resorts, and nearby is Lincoln's Boyhood Memorial.
Wow.
I would say it's a memorial of his childhood, because Lincoln's Boyhood Memorial sounds like something I don't want to see.
This is James. Where my boyhood died.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
47 years ago.
Yeah, rail splitting. Anyway, I must say that it is a great place to somewhat get away. If you just kind of want a vacation, but not really, Evansville is the place, apparently.
Okay.
Because it's a great place to somewhat get away. You get away, but...
only somewhat.
You know, you still got your...
You're still in a small town.
You know, you're still able to make pancakes with paper plates and stuff. It's nice.
Was that Puppy Dragon that did that?
No.
Oh, okay.
If you decide to come up on vacation, so this is a sales pitch, by the way.
Yeah, to people who live in Florida.
Yeah, everyone I've met who is from there is very proud to say that they are from Santa Claus' summer home, by God. And you don't jack with them. There's gangs and stuff with Santa Claus gang signs and stuff.
Some of them wear red.
Represent SC. We're in the hood. Okay. If you decide to come up on vacation in a log cabin, or perhaps partake of the Christmas shop, spell with an E.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I hate that. That is like
shoppy.
It's like you're better than just a store. That when I see an E at the end of shop, all that means to me is there's an old lady that's going to look at me the whole time like she doesn't want me in there. You know, like she thinks I'm going to steal something.
And she drives a Prius.
It has a... probably. Anyways, you can partake of the Christmas shop and fudge kitchen.
I like fudge.
I bet listeners from the tri-state area would be ecstatic if you came. This is an invitation to me personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
From Santa's
James,
summer.
When you
home.
Go, I'll go.
Yeah.
I've not been to Evansville.
Tri-state area, man. I've never been in a tri-state area. I would go just for that. And then as a bonus, you get to walk around with a bunch of people that are really, really proud of their theme park.
So. Santa Claus. You know what? When I was in Florida, there was a place called Christmas, and it had nothing there, and nobody was happy about the fact that their town was called Christmas.
Where is that?
It's east of Orlando.
Oh, that's the problem. East of Orlando.
There is a small town between Tampa and Orlando. You could drive about halfway between. And Jim, would you like to tell the people what this town between Tampa or between Orlando and Tampa is called?
It's Orlampa.
It's a real stupid
it's not.
Town.
It
yes.
is, yes. Orlampa. It says it. Welcome to Orlampa.
Welcome to frickin' Orlampa.
And it's like that sign is all that they have to offer.
It's got, to
Orlampa.
Full disclosure, it is Santa Claus's summer home, so his other summer
home. Spring home.
Now, full disclosure, there's a rich dude that collects airplanes, and he has the Fantasy of Flight Museum. You can look it up.
That's Orlampa?
Yeah, I have a feeling he coined the phrase Orlampa and probably owns all of the land associated with Orlampa and is trying to make this place a destination.
Could be.
But it's not working for me.
It's like, is he hoping that people are going to misspell Orlando while they're trying to type in Tampa or something?
I don't know what he's hoping, but what's going to happen is I'm going to swerve off the road and peg that sign one of these days because I
welcome
hate
to Orlampa.
Orlampa. I want to throw up. Burn.
It's like close to Dinosaur World, too.
Yeah, well.
There's no dinosaur.
There is a dinosaur world.
There is a dinosaur world.
It is close to St. Petersburg, and it is... It's got about, 20 to 30 concrete life-size dinosaurs. And this is a park that started, in the 60s, or 70s.
It seems kind of creepy, but I swear the kids are going to grow up and that we've passed it every time on the way to Disney World.
They've been to Disney World 100 times.
They'll be like,
they're one thing.
Only.
You never took us to Dinosaur World.
I don't remember that at all.
It's crazy. They're the same quality as the 1980s putt-putt golf places. The dinosaurs with the light bulbs as eyes, It's not great. It isn't great.
Oh, man.
But I was going to say, in Missouri, there is a town called Metropolis. Is it not, Jen? Called Metropolis. Do you remember? We were going between there and John's place, and we see it.
Illinois.
Oh, whatever. Okay, whatever. But I'd seen it. We pull off. They said, home of a giant Superman.
Mm-hmm. I remember
really?
This.
Yeah, and we drove, and we followed signs.
Like, way out of our way.
Because it was one of those deals where, how you'll see it, it'll say restrooms and stuff, tailgate parties, just ahead, off this exit. And then you get off, and then it'll say 4 miles away. It was like that. It was a big train of signs, but I'd gone too far, and I had to continue, and it was dark and scary, and I needed Superman at that point because I was scared. And we get into this town, and it wasn't even a town square. It was like a business, a grocery store, and I don't know, like the sheriff's, like the jail from like a Western place. And it was empty. It was vacant, except they had about 7 40-watt light bulbs shining up on this probably a story and a half tall Technicolor Superman.
Yeah.
I thought that he would be bronze. I thought he would be awesome. He looked like paper mache and temper paints. And that's the truth.
And now you're going to get more hate mail from Metropolis.
You talked about Superman. Well, I live in Indianapolis in a little town named Skizzyburg, and Skizzyburg is the unofficial home of Superman.
Superman's a winter home. Thank you very much.
That's right. And Clark Kent, but don't tell no one.
He's got glasses.
Well, that's our show for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You can send your funny true life stories, audio or text, or complaints or vacation pitches to thatstoryshow@gmail.com, and you can call them in at 209-5-NL-CAST, or better yet, visit the contact page on thatstoryshow.com for more information. You can also record and send in an opener like the one you heard today at the top of the show, that would be awesome. Just don't sing in a very high-pitched voice, because we will reverse engineer it and embarrass you. There we go. That's the show for this week. Thanks for listening. Visit our website, thatstoryshow.com. Join the NLCast Network Community Facebook group at nlcast.com/group. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/thatstoryshow. And review the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. That helps us a lot at thatstoryshow.com/ iTunes. Remember the t-shirts if you want one. Remember Patreon. And we'd just like to thank our backers, Rob Gobers for our theme music, our story contributors, and everyone who listens. And John, I'd like to thank you for making it back in the nick of time from your little getaway to make the show happen. So I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure.
And finally, if you have a funny life story to tell and nobody's listening, send it to Jennifer, who hates this little saying. See you guys next week. Peace. Jen's about to fall asleep in her chair right now.
That's not true.
Started the show a half hour late and she's done. She's doing the off Doug schedule.
I had a long weekend.
She's doing the nod nod, not the nay nay.
I want to see you dance the nay nay.
Okay, right after we get off here.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do it right now. Ready?
All
right.
Is that really it?
Yeah, something like
you could
this.
Totally do that if you were wearing a bunny costume.
I would be more, probably a little bit less self-conscious if I was wearing a bunny costume.
Well, yeah, because they wouldn't know it was you.
But totally you kind of do some stuff on your own, and then you do this move. And then you do something else funny, like open a book, and then do your move again.
Do you really open a book?
You can do whatever you want.
Oh.
Teach me how to Dougie.
Visit NLCast.com for other great NLCast network shows.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.